Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. In his book, The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis shared his thoughts on the value of every human life when he wrote these words. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilization, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. As Christians, from a biblical perspective, we see the truth in Lewis's words. There are no ordinary people, because as the psalmist declares, each and every person is fearfully and wonderfully created, knit together in our mother's womb by our Creator in His very image and likeness. You've never talked to a mere mortal, because as the Gospels declare, the infinite value of every human life is found in the precious blood of the Son of God shed on the cross at Calvary. Nations, cultures, arts, civilization, these are mortal. All these things are passing away. They shall perish, but people are eternal. People have eternal souls, and therefore, the most powerful nation, the greatest culture, the finest art, and every advanced civilization is like a gnat when compared to a single human life. Truth is, next to the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. In our second lesson this morning, a lawyer who sought to justify his actions toward other people asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And our Lord answered with what is often referred to as the greatest story in all of Scripture, the parable of the Good Samaritan. As you know, this parable is a story of a Jewish man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. As this man laid there waiting to die, two men who should have stopped and cared for him, instead, when they saw him, chose to pass by on the other side. Two men of God, one a priest, the other a Levite. They look upon their Jewish brother, and they see him as nothing more than a burden, just another delay in the middle of their long journey. The men of God, those who should care, don't. And then along comes a man who shouldn't care, but he does. The Samaritan, when he looks upon this wounded Jewish traveler, is filled with compassion, because he sees a human being, fearfully and wonderfully made, a child of God knit together in his mother's womb in the very image and likeness of God. The Samaritan uses his own clothes to bind his enemy's wounds. He pours in expensive oil and wine to cleanse the injury and to relieve this man's pain. He loads him up on his own beast while he walks, brings him to an inn, pays for his room, and then promises the innkeeper, "I'll pay any other charges this man incurs." The lawyer asked, "Who is my neighbor?" And by telling this story, Jesus declares the truth that God wants us to love and care for every person in need, and to view every human being, even our enemy, as our neighbor. This is a most difficult command. But this parable isn't the only place that Jesus teaches this lesson. Consider his words from the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." It is in passages like these that we discover the God-man, Jesus Christ, came not only to reveal God to man, but also man to man, to show us who we are, to show us true humanity. God wants his children to value every human life the way that he does, and the Samaritan is a really great example of that. He bound up his enemy's wounds. He valued his life more than the clothes off his back. He valued his enemy's life more than the oil and the wine that he poured into his wounds, more than the money he spent at the inn, more than his own safety on that dangerous road. The Samaritan valued human life as God does. And Jesus tells us to go and do thou likewise. When we consider the thoughts of C.S. Lewis on the value of every human life, when we hear Jesus' answer to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" when we learn how God expects his children to love and serve and give of themselves to care for every person in need, we have to ask ourselves, am I living as though the holiest, most important objects are most important? Or am I living as though less important things have more importance than they do? We don't want to be like the priest or the Levite who were either too busy, too self-centered, or too filled with prejudice to show some compassion for their fellow traveler, their fellow human being. God calls us to more. He has revealed to us the truth that every person is created in his image and likeness, and that he sent his only Son to die for all who call upon his name. So these great truths about our creation and redemption, they should direct the way we treat every person that we see, especially those that are in desperate need. The parable of the Good Samaritan is God's beautiful explanation of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. But that's not the only truth that our Lord wants us to recognize in this passage. There's something more for us, and it's found in the dialogue that takes place between Jesus and the lawyer. Now remember, the lawyer who sought to justify himself asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And the answer Jesus provided through this parable is clearly the injured traveler. The person who is in need is our neighbor. But after Jesus tells this story, he asked the lawyer, which of the three men in the parable was neighbor to the one in need? And the answer the parable provides is the Samaritan. So we see how this dialogue emphasizes the truth that the neighbor is not only the one in need, but also the one providing for the need, the one who takes care of us, the one who shows us mercy. This is a truth to cling to as we strive to live out the challenging command to love our neighbor as ourself. The only way that we will be able to extend the grace and the mercy that we see in the Good Samaritan is to recognize we were the injured traveler. on this dangerous road, we fell among the greatest of thieves. Our enemy stripped us. He wounded us, and he left us to die. But Jesus, the perfect Samaritan, when he saw us, he was filled with compassion. He came to us in human flesh. He bound up our wounds and cleansed them with his own blood. He lifted us up, carried us to his Father's house, where through his full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, paid for our room in the kingdom of God, both now and forever. When you have encountered the amazing grace, the infinite love, and the overwhelming mercy of God in the person of Jesus Christ, when you recognize the way that he came to you, all that he gave up for you, the infinite value that he places on your life, even when nobody else does, it is then that you can begin, by his grace, to love your neighbor as yourself. May the kindness, the love, and the mercy that God has shown us fill our hearts with thankfulness and lead us to go and do thou likewise. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.